Good morning, church. Buenos días.
So we are here celebrating the birth of Jesus. And my hope is that we live with this anticipation. And when we see all these prophecies of Jesus' birth, they are all interconnected from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So my hope is that we reflect on how all these prophecies come together. So let's go to the scriptures and examine first the Old Testament with Isaiah 9 and then Matthew 1:20 when the prophecy is actually fulfilled. Now, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, we have what we call a season of silence, 400 years of silence, meaning not that God was not talking to us, that he's not speaking to us, but in terms of prophets announcing the coming of the Messiah or challenging Israel, 400 years of silence. So imagine Israel leading this season with this prophecy after experiencing so much darkness and chaos and challenges in the world. So this is not different from today, where we are also experiencing all these challenges in the world, this brokenness, this darkness. And as we are going through all of that, it's important to keep an eye on what God is saying and the promises of God to us that will give us encouragement, that our hearts will be protected with God's peace, knowing and believing that he's real, he's here. That will transcend our minds and our souls and our spirit with peace to walk through turbulent time. So let's read verse 6 together, and then we can keep going forward. 1, 2, 3. This prophecy closes with a very powerful statement. The seal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. How many of you are released that we don't have to do this, that God will do it? That's the beauty of it. That's the passion, that we know that God is the creator of the earth, but he's also transcending and spending time and transcending history and engaging with you and I now in the present. So when you hear all these titles of Jesus, of this baby, just announce that this is not an ordinary baby. This baby is God in the flesh. And understanding that God is so powerful, the God who created the universe, his spirit, he's immaterial, so he can create matter. He's spaceless, he can create space. He's timeless, he can create time. This God that is all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipresence, he's everywhere. This God, now in spirit through the word, which is God the Son, becomes flesh in a baby. And this is a powerful prophecy that is coming to us. And understanding that now in the spirit, he continues to be here, ministering to us, touching us. And I say this to encourage our congregation that our faith is not based on a concept or an idea. Our faith is based on a person. And his name is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So when you go around the world, when you talk to people, when you are challenged by the world, remember that we are not here just to talk about ethics and what to do and what not to do, but we are here to embrace and engage with this powerful evidence, facts, that God is real through the person of Jesus. And that understanding will help us to embrace now 700 years later, we have this prophecy now fulfilled in Matthew 1:20 and 23. And it reads, "But after he had considered this," talking about Joseph, "an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, in who you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So the name Jesus was given to him even before he was born, and even as a baby, knowing that this powerful movement of God to save humanity is given by grace. So without even doing anything, he already had the name Jesus as the Savior of the world, without even doing anything just yet. And then it says in verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. What prophet? Isaiah's prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him what? Emmanuel. So when people question that Jesus is God, they are not reading the Bible, because everywhere is God is showing us that he is God. He's Emmanuel, God among us. He's not only 100% man, he's also God in the flesh. This is why we are called not only to obey him, but also to worship him, because only God deserves worship. And as we reflect on all these principles, we're going to start first going to explore his titles as the coming king. And Isaiah's prophecy creates this preparation, anticipation, giving these great powerful titles to this baby so that we have the expectation and knowing what he's going to do. God is revealing his purpose through all these functions, through all these titles, what he's going to do. He's called Wonderful Counselor. So Mighty God. Mighty what? God. He's God. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And all these titles reveal different aspects of God, different aspects of Jesus' ministry. And so that when we are going through situations in life, we need to allow God to reveal himself. Every problem you have, every challenge you face is an opportunity for God to reveal himself in a way that you have not known him before. That's why Jehovah God, our God, has many names. Jehovah Rapha, he's our what? Jehovah Rapha? Healer, right? Our healer. And then you have Jehovah Jireh, he's our what? Jehovah Jireh, our what? Provision. So unless you are sick and unless you are lacking, you will never have the revelation of God as Jehovah Rapha until you are sick. Does that make sense? You can know the name, but you don't know the name in your spirit, in your heart, until you get sick and the doctor said to you, it's over. Nothing we can do about you. There's nothing in science today that can help you. At that point, you go, oh my God, only you can heal me. And when that happens, Jehovah Rapha will be revealed to you. Does that make sense? So every opportunity, instead of lamenting where you are living, remember that every situation we have is an opportunity for your God to establish a deeper and a stronger relationship with you. And what he wants is that you, instead of, and you and I, instead of seeking people, we seek his counsel. And that's the way all these names will be revealed to you and to me and to the church and to the world, until we know and we are in a situation when we actually need it. So he will provide to us guidance and peace and giving us all this assurance that regardless of our struggles, God is with us. And as we understand that, he will so powerfully reveal to us who he is. So defending the birth of Jesus is really easy when you go to the biblical and historical context of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, 1,400 years, more than 20 authors. And now between this prophecy from Isaiah to Matthew, 700 years. Wow. It makes this very legitimate that God is real and he speaks and he doesn't lie. He is God, and when he prophesies to you, when he gives you a prophecy, it's not to judge us, it's to encourage us and to believe that he is with us. And as we walk through life, all these prophecies will be fulfilled. So these people were praying for the Messiah, 700 years, silence, nothing happens. And here, now, in Matthew, boom, you have the baby coming in Matthew. So how many of you pray every day? Good. And how many of us get desperate when we don't see the prayer like McDonald's drive-through? Because that's what we want. We want a microwave prayer answer. Boom. Drive-through, quick, done. 700 years waiting for the Messiah. My hope is that we understand that the fulfillment of God's will takes time. And even though we don't understand what is going on, God is working. So this verse is not an isolated event, but it's interconnected through the whole Bible. And when we see Isaiah prophesying and fulfilling all this prophecy in Jesus, in Matthew, we understand that God is with us. So it is written by many scholars that Jesus fulfilled more than 300 prophecies in his life, from birth, ministry, death, and resurrection. 300 prophecies. Do you know 300 prophecies? How many prophecies? So next time you doubt that Jesus is God, that God is among us, remember this. 300 prophecies. Now, 1,400 years. Do you know how many? And we love to calculate stuff. Do you know the probability? What is the probability that one person can fulfill one, not 300, one, only one of these prophecies? It's like, just to put this in context, it's like going to the state of Texas, floated with water, drop a coin, and then you go and find it. That's the chances that a person can fulfill one, not 300, one. And when we understand all of this, we realize that all these prophecies are so powerful, and it's impossible for mankind to make it up. So we have this prophecy now in Isaiah 9, but before that, the prophet also prophesied the birth of the child in Isaiah 7:14. It reads, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and we shall call his name Emmanuel." So that's the prophecy, projecting, declaring, this is a sign. So everything that God does, he's pointing. Jesus was always challenging us. Read the signs. Now you can reach the sky. You can anticipate when it's going to have a tornado, a tsunami, a tornado, and a hurricane. But you cannot read the signs that now God is moving and pointing out and saying Jesus is coming back again. And now he's saying the baby will come. It will be God in our midst. And that understanding was emphasized by another prophet many, many years after, Micah 5:2. He prophesied the place. Okay, one prophet prophesies the birth. Another prophet is going to prophesy what? The place. And here in Micah 5:2, hear what it says. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days," prophesying the birth. I was born in Cuba. I didn't choose that. Why the most important things about us cannot be chosen by us? Can you choose where you're going to be born? No. Can you choose what race you are? No. Can you choose who are going to be your parents? No. Can you choose who are going to be your children? No. The most important things in our lives, we cannot choose. It's God-given. And when we understand that, we start seeing that Jesus was born in a city that was chosen by the prophet. You can make this up. Because you can say, "I'm the Messiah." Okay, where are you born? In Cuba. No, you're not. Because the Bible says it's Bethlehem. I'm from England. I don't care. So that's what my hope is, that we embrace this understanding. I wanted to convey to the congregation, go beyond the celebration, the little baby. This baby is not ordinary baby. And every time we celebrate Christmas, we are acknowledging that God really intervenes and is here. And it's also a celebration for the family, but it's also an acknowledgement that he's here and he sent his only begotten son to die for us on the cross. At the same time, it's a celebration. At the same time, it's also judgment. Because now we have acknowledged that he's real, that he's God. And I remember this passage in the Old Testament with Abraham and Sarah. These angels came to Sarah and said, you're going to have a baby by this time next year, you're going to have a baby. And Sarah, she was old. She was over 70, 80 years old. And she was laughing. Me having a baby? Ha, ha, ha. And you know what the angel said? Don't laugh. No, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. So God knows everything. And sometimes these prophecies make no sense. And we laugh about it. Yes, right, a baby's, boom, yeah, you have it. This prophecy sometimes is laughable by the world because they don't understand. But the Bible says that the secrets of the kingdom are for the children of God, not for everybody. So the expectation that the world will understand all these prophecies is crazy. The children of God who are full with the Spirit of God will understand the scriptures and will believe by faith. Because Jesus said, I'm going to speak in parables. So people seeing, they cannot see. And hearing, they cannot hear. That's what Jesus was doing. But then he came and said to the disciples, here's what I meant. Here's what I meant. Here's what I meant. Here's what I meant. How do we do now? So with the Spirit reveals to you everything and to me. And when we understand that, God will continue blessing us. And then we understand that this God is not a God that is up there in the heavens. He's a historical God. The moment Jesus was born, he became a historical character. And with that, you have the historical Jesus, not only God in the flesh, God in the spirit, but also God in the flesh. Now you have a historical Jesus because he was born. How many of you believe that Abraham Lincoln was born? George Washington, that they live and they were here, right? Do you see him? So why you believe it? Yeah? Because they are historical characters. You have books, you have writings, you have stories, you have eyewitnesses. Well, the same thing with Jesus. That's why we believe he's born. He's a historical character. And the moment he's born, he divided history between after Christ and before Christ. And now we can now walk in this realization, in this profound understanding that Christ's announcement of coming, the second coming of Christ, is real. And God will be with us. So all these prophecies are fulfilled. This time God creates assurance in our hearts that Jesus is real and he's impacting our life in ways that we will never can comprehend fully. So when this announcement comes and Joseph having this dream and he was doubting, okay, my wife is pregnant from the Holy Spirit. I need more evidence than that. Imagine that your wife show up and says, I'm pregnant, baby. Why? From the Holy Spirit. Yes, right? From the Holy Spirit. We're going to find out who is the father right now. And then I will take you to court. And when the baby is born, I'm going to DNA test. And I have the lawyer saying, guess what? You are not the father. Okay? So you have all of these challenges. But in reality is, the angels, God himself has to intervene and say to Joseph, Joseph, calm down. What Mary has come from the Holy Spirit. And God's still in doing that. If we are open, if we are seeking, God will speak to us. And even though we have all these challenges, God will bring peace to us. He's the Prince of what? Peace. Say with me, peace. Now say to your neighbor, peace. Now, this is the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, peace is not the absence of noise. Sometimes when you go to places and you hear the birds and there is silence and your baby, your children are sleeping and there's no noise in the house, you say, it's so peaceful. When you say that, what you're actually saying is, peace is the absence of noise. Or you have no conflict. Everybody love you. Barney and Robin love you. Everybody love you. You have no enemies. you have no conflicts, then you say, I have what? Peace. That's the world. That's the way the world understands peace. For us, he is the Prince of Peace. Peace for the child of God. Peace for the church of God is a person, and his name is Jesus. And when he show up, I don't care what is happening. There's still peace, knowing that the Prince of Peace is standing and is still governing the earth. And when you know that, you have peace. The world is upside down, but you have peace. So people say to me, Pastor, I'm losing my faith. It's impossible that you lose your faith. It's impossible that you lose your faith. Now, your brain is playing tricks to you. Your heart is playing tricks to you. Your flesh is playing tricks to you. The situations around you is bombarding you with stuff. It got real. It got real. At that point, you have to stop and repeat your confession. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the church. I believe that he died. I believe that he's coming back. I believe that he's in heaven. I believe in the communion of saints. I believe in the life everlasting. Boom! Then you know that your faith is strong. Your faith is not weak. Your faith is not based on feelings. You know that you know that you know that the baby is Christ. And this baby will become a king. And this baby is already a king, and he's coming back again. So you have to quiet your noise and turn your thought life to Jesus and say, enough is enough. Cancel all this attack from the enemy and from darkness, doubting that God is real. And I rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus this morning to your mind. You are a child of the living God. He loves you. He protects what he loves, what he creates. You are his beloved children. We are. And because of that, the world can turn upside down, my friends. I still believe until the last moment. And when I am no more, I will be with God, and then I will realize what I believe is true. Because our faith is not based on a concept or an idea or a book. It's based on a person. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. So that's my hope, that we understand the power of the name. His name is Jesus. He will save the world, discover his titles, create opportunities for God to intervene in your life. Every time you have a problem or a challenge, open your mouth to the heavens and say, God, this is the opportunity I was looking for. People are around you say, you are crazy. No, I'm not crazy. This is the perfect opportunity for God to show up and reveal himself to us. So that's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. That's an expectation that I have. And when we do that, God will bless us. So here is the call to action. Number one, reflect on the titles of Christ. Regardless you are facing today, allow God to show up. So if you need counseling, you are about to make decisions, important decisions, make sure that those decisions are led by the Spirit. And ask for God's wisdom, not earthly wisdom, but heavenly wisdom. Because every wisdom that you receive from heaven will help you to align with God's purpose for your life, with the scriptures, with the Spirit in you. If you need peace, he's the Prince of Peace. And then you have all this current circumstances creating you the space for God to show up. Where do you need his guidance and peace today? So reflect on that during this season. Reflect on that. Number two, personal invitation. Now that you know that Christ was born, the baby's born, and he's coming back again, dying on the cross, invite other people to experience that with you. This is the perfect opportunity to talk to people and ask them questions. Do you believe in the birth of Christ? I'm seeing all these people moving around, celebrating, all this music, all these trees. What do you know about Jesus? This is the perfect season. Even if you are timid, you can use this season to talk about it and say, do you really believe all the stuff, or you only believe in Black Friday? Because people believe what they want to believe. They don't believe in the birth, but they are looking at Black Friday to buy my TV. Okay? So the question is, you know, create the space to have the conversation and acknowledging the reality that Christ was born. And invite people to walk this journey with us, following the steps of Jesus. And the last call to action is prayer. Just set aside time during this season to walk away, have one-on-one time with God and reflect on the miracles of Christ's birth insignificant for you and your family. What does that mean for me? I'm not going to make only plans and goals to excel, to be successful, but I'm also going to make plans and goals to share the gospel with other people, to open my house at least once a month, or at least every other month, or at least once a year, to invite someone to my table and share with him or with her or the family who Jesus is. I'm going to spend time with my family and my children and want to make sure that they understand the realities of the birth of Jesus and who God is, because I want them to know God and I want God to be revealed to them, because I know that God doesn't have grandchildren. God only has children. So everyone needs to have a personal relationship with God. So you can read the Bible to them. You can bring your children to the church, to Betsy and Sarah, and we can give them 300 teachings, but at the end of the day, they have to respond on their own. And they, and only they, can have a relationship with God. He doesn't have grandchildren. It's children. So they have to have a relationship with him. And that's your first responsibility. It's not Betsy's responsibility to make disciples out of your children. They are here to help you make disciples out of your children. The children ministry, that's not the responsibility. The school, and people are fighting about the Ten Commandments in the church, in the school and everything. I'm telling you, the responsibility to make disciples out of your children is yours. It's yours. It's mine. And we start there. And everything else is help. So if they don't turn, if they turn after you taught them, you model for them, they saw you praying, find places in the house where they can see you praying, where they can see you reading the Bible, that will resonate with them. That you're not only coming here on Sunday, hallelujah, kumbaya, and then next Sunday again. That doesn't work, because they will grow up seeing that. If they see you during the week, at least once, opening your Bible or playing some worship or worshiping in the car, that will resonate with them. Say, okay, this is real. This is not an activity. This is a relationship. And when they realize that, they will grow up and make their own decisions. Now, if they walk away from the faith, that's not on you. Your job is to model and teach. If they walk away from the faith, you have to pray that one day they will come back. That God, the same God that reached you, will reach them. That you are so stubborn, your children too. Guess what? It runs in the family. So my children are stubborn as I am. So I know that if they go out, something more powerful than I will turn them back. And that's my confidence, and that should be your confidence. So the only thing we can do is what? Pray. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May we prepare our hearts to welcome his presence anew, reflecting on the truth revealed in your world. The truth revealed in your world is also revealed through your word. Help us to share the hope of Christ coming to a world that longs for light in darkness. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus.